a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and excited to have you on board to another episode of the podcast. A lot to get to on this episode of the program, as always, here on Cougar Tracks. BYU Sports, it's always going, man. There's always great storylines. There's always great conversation. That's why I love covering BYU Sports, because all year long, there's great stuff to talk about in the world of BYU Sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. Check out KSLSports.com and follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and KSL Cougar Tracks on Instagram as well. BYU Basketball, Midnight Madness, Dave Rose. We'll go over all of that. Some football news on the scheduling front, potentially, a new commitment, and a whole lot more. So let's dive right into it. And we'll start off with the scary news with Dave Rose, former BYU head coach, suffered a heart attack early on Tuesday. He's now recovering. He's doing okay, but still a scary situation for the former BYU head basketball coach. To me, the greatest head coach in BYU basketball history. He suffered a heart attack, and his wife, Cheryl, reported that on her personal Instagram page and made that public knowledge to everyone so they could get an update on Coach Rose. Scary situation. And you know, it's difficult because Coach Rose, he's still battling pancreatic cancer every year. As you heard over the summer here on the podcast, Coach Rose was here in studio here at KSL, and he told me every single year he's getting annual checkups, still checking in on the pancreatic cancer that he's had to deal with his whole life for the last 10 years or so. And then to have this setback as well, it's just scary stuff. And you wish nothing but the best for Coach Rose, because that's scary, man. And I hope that he has a healthy life. I know he plans on going to the Maui Invitational, the game between BYU and Houston coming up next month. So hopefully he's in good health and he can enjoy that, because not a classier guy than Dave Rose. Great guy to the media, great guy all around, and a dang good basketball coach. And he was beloved by so many in the BYU basketball program, and hope he is doing well going forward, and wish nothing but a speedy recovery for Coach. And you can read more on that story at KSLSports.com. The current BYU basketball program, led by Mark Pope, first-year head coach, who steps in for Dave Rose, who retired this past March. It's been the 24/7 relentless approach in Mark Pope's program, and got another glimpse of the BYU basketball program at Midnight Madness. Now, full disclosure, the event didn't consist really of any sort of basketball, which was kind of a bummer. I was hoping for like a dunk contest and a three-point shootout and things like that. But hey, it didn't happen. It's fine. It's okay. I want to see the actual games. I want to see these guys playing games. But those kind of things are always fun. You know, that's what makes Midnight Madness a good time. I remember a couple years ago, when they did the boom shakalaka. They did the three-point shootout dunk contest. That was a good time. They did it at the field house. But this Midnight Madness was kind of more of a fire up the student section event, in my opinion. I remember back when Steve Cleveland first came to BYU as the head coach. Remember, BYU was a 1-25 program. And I remember stories of him knocking on all the doors at dorms on BYU's campus, basically saying, hey, BYU student, come to BYU basketball games. It's going to be worth your time. I think they named the student section like the Cleve Zone, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong on that. Memory might be getting a little bit foggy. But Cleveland made a clear-cut pitch right away to get the fans and the students back involved in BYU basketball. Now, last year, BYU won 19 games, a far better season than 1-25 back in 1996-97 season. But still, I think interest in BYU basketball has waned and dipped just a little bit from its peak with Jimmer Fredette and that Sweet 16 team in 2011. And I think to ignite and energize the fan base again, and especially those students in the Rock, Mark Pope, I think, wanted to have this event to really get them fired up about BYU basketball. Because I'll tell you, Mark Pope is a guy that gets you to believe and buy in right away. He's got that personality. He's kind of a crazy guy, but you love the intensity, you love the passion, and that's what he brings. And I think that's why Mark Pope was so desirable when Dave Rose announced his retirement. Brian Santiago, Tom Homo, Ryan Smith of Qualtrics, they wanted Mark Pope. He was their number one target, and they got their number one guy for a reason. He comes from Utah Valley, where he built up UVU consistently improving. Never won any titles, but they won a lot of games for a program that didn't know much winning. Heck, they've only been around for about, what, 10, 20 years, something like that? So Mark Pope, he's a guy that gets people to buy in, and it's got to be an all-encompassing deal. Players, former players, coaches, support staff, fans, students, everyone's got to be bought into the 24/7 relentless approach. And I think that's what the Midnight Madness was basically all about. And he had the students. Mark Pope came out towards the end of the event and basically laid out to the students as a scenario of end of game West Coast Conference title on the line in the West Coast Conference tournament. And BYU pulls off the win with seconds remaining to get their first conference tournament title. After he laid out that scenario, he had the students storm the court because he wanted them to practice a championship environment and remember that feeling that they had in October last night at Midnight Madness, and remember that when March comes around. Because again, I've said it in previous podcasts, this BYU team is not looking to put out their best product in November. They want to be at their best in March. Because realistically, based on the injuries and everything that they got stacked up against them on the personnel front, that's the mindset they got to take. It's going to be a tough road to hoe to carve out an at-large bid for the NCAA tournament with this current roster. Not saying they can't, because Yoeli Childs, TJ Haas, Jake Toulson, they are special dudes, three of the best players in the West Coast Conference. But there's not much after them. It's kind of like the LA Lakers, my LA Lakers. You got LeBron, you got AD, two of the best to do it in the league. But then what else you got? There's a lot of questions about what else you got. And that's the same thing for BYU. The top three, dang good. But once you lost Baxter, Lakers lost DeMarcus Cousins. BYU lost Gavin Baxter. There's a lot more questions about the depth now. And BYU's going to look to answer that depth. But nonetheless, the Midnight Madness event was a lot of fun. It was a great time, and the students were hyped up. It was the most energy I've seen in the Marriott Center in quite some time. And it's a staged event for those purposes. You got the Taylor Swift music playing. You got, I mean, I will say, too, the Midnight Madness event made me feel for the first time really in my life where I felt really old. I just like felt, man, I am old. Because I've never felt that way. I like to think that I keep my ear to the street. I'm staying abreast of what the kids are talking about. But I'll admit, some of the music that was playing, and it made me realize I'm getting old. And I don't realize it until that moment. So it was good for me to understand that, yes, Mitch, you are getting old.
You are far older than these college-age kids, and you need to understand that. So, in that sense, it was a good reality check for me. But for the fans and the students, they're dreaming big. They're not looking in the reality. They want to think big and win a championship, and that's what Mark Pope did with having them picture a championship setting. And here was Mark Pope on that atmosphere that took place with 2,700-plus fans in attendance at the Marriott Center for Midnight Madness on a Wednesday night.
It's really fun. I mean, this is an extraordinary place, man. It's just like very few places are like this where you can kind of do this at this time of day on a Wednesday night and have people come and be so engaged. And the people that work in marketing and you know, with The Rock and, you know, to organize this event are just amazing. And so it was great. It was great for us, great for the guys. Great to, you know, they're kind of stuck in the dungeon right now, just working like crazy. And so to come up for a breath of air and remember that people really care and people are really cheering them on is a big deal.
Yeah, those guys are a month in to practicing, so probably getting a chance to see the fans, interact with them was probably definitely a nice thing. One of those top guys, as I mentioned moments ago, Jake Toulson. He is going to be a leader for this team. And in fact, everyone talks about Yoli, and rightfully so. He's going to probably get all the headlines. He probably is the best player on this BYU team. He probably is. I think that's fair to say. He's the guy that's going to consistently get probably double-doubles every single night. But the most important, the most qualified guy in terms of a leader, it's probably Jake Toulson. WAC Player of the Year a season ago at UVU. This was Jake on the court storming and his head coach, Mark Pope.
Coach Pope, you know, he shut it down with all the storming the floor and all that. I was not expecting that, but actually I would expect that because he just does crazy, stupid stuff like that. But it was cool. It was fun.
Is that the craziest thing he's done through training camp?
I can't say if it was or not. I don't know. He's just a crazy person. So,
oh, I love it.
Surprise us.
Mark Pope, he is a crazy guy, but it's a lot of fun with Mark Pope. And this was Pope's response to Jake Toulson not having an answer on whether or not that court storming staged was the craziest thing Pope has done through camp.
Yep. So we have the Celtic rules now. You know that, right? So stay in-house has to stay in-house. Those guys know that. We've talked about that. But the guys were great tonight. It was really fun. And nobody got hurt, and so those are all big, big important points.
Can someone help me understand what the Celtic rules are? I didn't know that was a thing. I literally, when he said that quote, I had to go Google it. I still don't really know what it is. I guess it's all about keeping everything in-house, but hey, what happens at the Marriott Center Annex stays in the Marriott Center Annex. BYU going to be tipping off their season on November 5th. They got an exhibition game, I believe, on November 1st against UT. Tyler, they got a scrimmage, a so-called secret scrimmage coming up this weekend against Cal, one of Mark Pope's mentors, and Mark Fox, he's the head coach for the Cal Golden Bears. They're coming to Provo to take on this BYU team. No TV, no radio. It's closed down. Not even the media gets to see the scrimmage, but should be a good litmus test for Pope to kind of see where his team is at through 1 month of practice because, you know, what is this rotation going to look like? There's so many questions with this BYU basketball team. It really makes for a fascinating season. Those first nine games could be tough, but I still think, I get this feeling that Pope is going to maximize every ounce of potential that this team has in year one. With what they got, they are going to maximize everything they got out of this roster. I buy into Mark Pope. I think Pope, Robinson, Feger, Burgess, it's a good staff, and they've really kind of changed the mindset of this BYU basketball program that needed a little bit of a change. It was just getting a little stale, needed that boost of energy, and Mark Pope definitely bringing that for the BYU basketball program. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, going to get to some football news, scheduling talk, and also some recruiting news. BYU gets a new commitment. Much more here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Shariza's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome on back. Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. BYU football news. Cougar football team, of course, on a bye week. And Kalani Sitake last night enjoyed Midnight Madness at the Marriott Center. He was sitting on the baseline. I think he was with his daughters. I'm not sure on that, or his children. I think they were there. There were some kids next to him in costumes. I want to say it was his kids. But nonetheless, Kalani was having a great time at the Marriott Center and getting some opportunity to unwind just a little bit. Because as a football coach, I got to imagine it is nonstop, 24/7. It can be a grind. He also spoke to the Cougar Club yesterday as well. Chad Lewis tweeted out a great photo of Kalani talking in front of murals of the prophets of old. Kind of fun to see that with Kalani down in downtown Salt Lake City. But some interesting stuff to report here, some news and notes. UConn, the team that we talked about a little bit in the summertime as they left the AAC and joined now the Big East Conference. Well, of course, the Big East Conference doesn't have any football conference of their own. So UConn now is left to be an FBS independent. And with UConn becoming an independent starting next year in 2020, all their other programs going back to the Big East, a league that they helped founded back in the 70s, BYU and UConn could potentially be a future series in the making. Because both programs are independents at the FBS level. Mike Anthony from the Hartford Courant reported today that BYU is expected to be a regular opponent for the UConn Huskies in future years. Kind of interesting stuff. Not surprising by any means, because BYU has shown under Tom Homel that they will lend a helping hand to a fellow independent. And you know what? Hey, it's okay. That's fine. They've done it with Liberty. They've done it with New Mexico State. Those have been, New Mexico State's been, was a terrible series to deal with. The UMass series has been absolutely dreadful. I think Liberty could be kind of interesting because they're a football program that could actually have some success, maybe. Hey, don't look now, but they're 5-2 right now. They haven't beaten anyone worth a dang, but still, 5-2 is 5-2, especially when you're coming up from the FCS ranks to the FBS level. So the Liberty agreement's okay. UConn, I like, though, too. I think UConn's a okay football program. They're not great. I mean, even in their Fiesta Bowl year that everyone talks about as the one glowing endorsement of that program, they only won 8 games, and they got in because the Big East had an automatic bid to the BCS, and it was just a terrible league that year. That was during the time when the Mountain West Conference was better than the Big East. I remember all the time on message boards and social media, BYU fans and Mountain West fans analyzing the numbers. The Mountain West is the 6th best or 7th best conference, better than the Big East Conference. Man, what a simpler time that was back then. Now, of course, BYU being an independent, they need inventory. And, you know, UConn clearly needs inventory as they're going to the independent ranks next year. Now, BYU has already got games scheduled, 12 games scheduled in 2020 and 2021. The earliest opening for BYU is in 2022. The Cougars have games against Baylor, Oregon, Wyoming. Let's see. They got 10 games scheduled in 2022. And you know what? These are all tentative to change, subject to change, rather. You know, things can move around, and BYU, if they desperately wanted to get UConn on the 2020 schedule, maybe something could work. Maybe. You know, maybe you throw some other games their way. I don't know how that would work. But most likely, the earliest that it would be, just based on what we see today, the earliest time that BYU could get UConn on the schedules would be 2022. I don't mind it. I mean, it's better than Idaho State, it's better than UMass, but that's a low bar. I mean, that's not a, I don't think UConn is going to do all that great as an FBS independent. I think they're going to look and try to walk and operate similar to BYU's independent path, but maybe after 4 or 5 more years, it's going to start to look and feel like UMass. It'll be interesting to see what UConn can carve out on the TV scene, because to my knowledge, they don't have a TV deal carved out yet. And for all we know, BYU doesn't even have a TV deal carved out yet. There's still no word on the latest with BYU's TV contract starting, their new TV contract starting next year in 2020. Believed to still be ESPN, and all indications are that BYU wants to work with ESPN, of course. But going from June at Media Day, where Tom Homo said it was near a finalization of being somewhat extended, there's been no word on that in the last, what are we now, 4 months. So we'll see what happens with BYU's as well. I would expect for both BYU and UConn, we get some sort of resolution by the end of the calendar year. I would expect. And even the Hartford Courant reported that in their article as well. So I think that's fair to assume. And I think BYU too, because you got to start piecing together the schedule. I mean, coming up, what, in March or April, ESPN will start rolling out their Thursday night, Friday night games. I mean, it'll start to get on. And that's only, what, 5 months away. So you got to get that TV deal nailed down, and it's got to be done very soon. So we'll continue to monitor that. But what do you think of BYU possibly scheduling UConn for a slate of games? I think it's okay. I think it's all right. I'll take it, but only if it's in, what, October or November. No September dates. None of that. So we'll see. Recruiting news. BYU got a commitment from an interesting prospect, a guy that I'm very intrigued by, in wide receiver Terrence Fall, 6'2", 185-pound prospect out of Aquinas High School in California, but he originally hails from the country of France. BYU's never had a player that calls France their home. Now, BYU doesn't get many guys internationally, period. Since BYU began as a football program in 1922, the Cougars have only had 32 players outside the United States. Fall would, of course, be the 33rd in the history of the program. He's also the 17th commitment in the class of 20, and he took an official visit to BYU this past weekend for the Boise State game. I saw him down, you know, waiting in the pregame warmups. I saw him there. Big, tall prospect. He looks a little bit taller than 6'2". He might even be 6'3". And again, that's with probably the shoes. He probably had a big, big shoe, and that could alter his height and whatnot. But a big, rangy prospect that could play either wide receiver or defense, and it fits the mold of what BYU wants to do with their recruiting. This is a Fessy Satake and Ed Lamb prospect. I believe Ed Lamb got in on Terrence Fall first, and then, of course, Fessy Satake closed the deal and gets that commitment from Fall. He doesn't have any other offers from FBS programs, but again, it's upside, it's potential. And when you're talking about the skill positions at wide receiver, at running back, you either go with the young developmental guys that have the measurables and the speed, or you go the transfer portal, or you go JUCO. That's the model for success for BYU, because the high school kid that's got a lot of P5 offers, probably not going to go to BYU if they're wide receiver or running back. If for whatever reason, it's just that way. Now, the exceptions would be, of course, if they are a devout member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and they have plans to serve a mission. Either one of those. Gunnar Romney as an example. Chase Roberts as an example. So Terrence Fall, he's going to be part of the 2020 class, and signing day coming up on December 18th, early signing period, not far away, less than 2 months till Fall and the rest of the 2020 class can sign on the dotted line. And if you want to know more about the 2020 recruiting class, check out this podcast, Cougar Tracks. Subscribe and go back in the archives. And I did a couple weeks ago in the first bye week, I broke down the 2020 recruiting class. So go check that out if you missed that episode. Last thing before I get out on this podcast today, BYU Creamery, they opened up a cookies and milk bar. Hey, BYU's got a bar, folks. They finally opened up a bar. Hey, Wisconsin fans, when you came and shut down Center Street back in 2017, guess what? BYU's got a bar now. It's Cookies and Milk Bar. It's not the alcoholic spirits beverage that Wisconsin fans and maybe the rival fans of the North enjoy as well. But a Cookies and Milk Bar at the BYU Creamery. I think it's in the Wilkinson Center. It's part of that renovation that took place in the Wilk. Really nice. BYU store got a new facelift. Looks really good. They put in like a jumbotron with some stadium seating and then re-laid out the whole orientation of the merchandising. Really looks really good. Now they got a Cookies and Milk Bar. I'm going to have to go try it out. I'll have to do a review I'll have to take a page out of my good friend Tom Hackett here at KSLSports.com. He has Dine and Dash. Oh, wait. You know what? Better yet, I should have Tom take Dine and Dash. Tom Hackett, former Ute, two-time Ray Guy winner, all-century team in the Pac-12. I should have him go down to Provo and do Dine and Dash for the Cookies and Milk Bar down at BYU. That would be great. The guy that said, this is Utah's world, and BYU's living in it, have him do Dine and Dash down at BYU. That's the content I need to see. Inject that into my veins, people. Or maybe just inject that root beer milk into my veins. I hear that's pretty good. That's Alex Curry's favorite. Because it tastes like that root beer float, that residue at the bottom. Ooh, baby, that tastes pretty good. Personally, I like the mint chocolate brownie milk. Very niche, very specialized, but lays a punch, man. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But I'll have to go check that out. I'll, of course, probably put out some tweet at @Mitch_Harper and at KSLSports.com as well. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, KSL Cougar Tracks there, @Mitch_Harper on Twitter. Follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @KSL Sports. And as always, check out KSLSports.com for the latest in the world of BYU sports, sports in the state of Utah, and nationally, too. A lot of content on the Jazz, the Utes, whatever kind of tickles your fancy, we got it covered at KSLSports.com. So signing off, I'll talk to you tomorrow, get you ready for the weekend, and start to kind of dive into BYU and Utah State, the battle for the wagon wheel. A whole lot more tomorrow. So, talk to you tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.